Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 73, and I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm a former professional athlete turned online fitness coach, and I'm known around the world as a guy who helps men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond get into the best shape of their life through the six pillars. I used to have four pillars. It's now six pillars of health, mindset, recovery, sleep, nutrition, workouts, and of course, supplementation, and regaining manhood, regaining the mindset, regaining their testosterone. And that's what I'm here for. And you're here at the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. I'm so happy that you're here today. I'm so excited that you're here today. I'm a little, lost for words, but man, what a powerful podcast we had, because Polly Bateman, our mindset and professional coach, was on, and it was an incredible podcast. It is an incredible podcast. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this podcast. You know, Polly Bateman is a mindset and performance coach. And just to start there, the number one pillar in our program is mindset. That's the number one pillar. When it comes to health, when it comes to fitness, when it comes to anything, you have to establish your mindset. You have to establish a why, something deep that's going to help you get through the bad times. But after you get that mindset going, after you get the habit, the healthy habit, you're eating, to support your metabolism and your testosterone and weight loss and butt building muscle. Your workouts are four times a week, and they're 30 minutes, and you're hitting those workouts hard. You're striving for 7 to 9 hours sleep on a daily basis. You're doing your mobility recovery and yoga on those recovery days. You're supplementing with your greens and your protein powders and your probiotics, omega-3s. You've got all of that in place. And then the mindset now switches to yourself, your values, your beliefs, your mindset on how you treat yourself, how you treat people around you. Do you stay outside your comfort zone? All of those positive patterns to help you grow as a man, to help you grow as a father, to help you grow as a husband, to help you grow as a grandfather, as a pillar in society. And so that's how the mindset continues to always be the number one pillar, because that's always going to change. Your beliefs, your values, things will change. There's some core values that you'll hang on to, and there's some beliefs that you have to get rid of. But the mindset has to continually be exercise. It's like a muscle. Brain's a muscle. We got to keep exercising. We got to keep putting positive things that are going to help us reach our goals, things are going to help us push us to where we thought we could never do, things we thought we could never do. A lot of guys that do the Over 40 Alpha program, when they start, they're they're the lowest, man. They're the lowest they've been. And they don't see where they could get to. They're just trying to establish the change of where they were, and now this new healthy lifestyle. I know personally where they're going to be. Like, when guys come in 300 pounds, I know they're going to have a six pack. They stay in the program, I know they're going to have a six pack. They don't believe me, but I know. And then a year later, or 7 months later, or 8 months later, or 6 months later, man, I want to go for that six pack now because I've lost all this weight. I'm feeling lean. You know, I still got a little bit of, belly fat, but I can kind of see that there's going to be a six pack. Now I want the six pack. Before, that would never even be something they would think about. I just want to lose weight, Funk. I just want to get off these high cholesterol, these cholesterol pills. I'm pre-diabetic. I just don't want to be diabetic. I don't want type 2 diabetes. I don't, I got to just lose this weight. What are you talking about, six pack? Buddy, I just want this, and I get it. But I, you know, I'm always seeing, I can always see where people will end if they just stay on course, if they keep their mind in the right place, and if they believe. And once they get that, it's never fails. It's like, Funk, okay, now I want the six pack, Funk. How do I get the six pack? And now they get the six pack and it's like, okay, Funk, I want to get lean. I want to get muscular. And we see it. We see it over and over again. 10,000 men, we see it over and over and over again. Month over month, day after day. It's like every day, boom, look at this transformation. Boom, look at this transformation. Guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. But it's that mindset that they didn't think they had or didn't remember they have. And so getting Pauly on the podcast is going to be massive, guys. This, I'm telling you, you do not want to miss the value. I'm not even going to promote anything. I'm just going to tell you more about Pauly. Pauly's a mindset and performance coach. She runs her own online business, and she helps clients, a lot of C-level clients, a lot of professional athletes, clients from all walks of life. But world-class athletes, C-suite executives, public figures, sports teams, creatives get liberated from negative patterns of their behavior and barriers they reinforce themselves with, right? And that's key because it is those negative behaviors and patterns and thoughts. And imagine if someone can help you understand that and shift it, because the paradigm shift facilitates exponential progress across your entire life. It happened to me. It happened to me, not through Pauly, but over the last 6 years, the exponential progress of my life has been insane. Actually, since I was 45, I would really say when I reached the age of 45, and I was a professional athlete before too. I was a high level professional athlete before. I fought in Thailand after, but the exponential progress that's been happening to me is because of the paradigm shift that I allowed myself to allow to happen. And you become more of your authentic self, truly fulfilled, and you're happy, right? Pauly's a veteran in the holistic wellness industry. She's been transforming lives since 2006, helping thousands in all life challenges, you know, thwarting people from happiness. You can think of, so, you know, she helps people exceed their expectations, achieve their goals. And, you know, I was really happy to have her on because today we're going to talk about breaking patterns, talk about how to let go of the past and how to reintroduce the new beliefs that you're going to need, right, to become the man you need to be. So I'm really excited to have her on this podcast. You guys are going to love this. This is going to be a very powerful podcast. And we're going to, this is so powerful, we're going to have Pauly on again. So make sure you listen to this podcast. Please give it a 5 stars. Enjoy the podcast. Grab your Lean Pro 30, you know, drink a smoothie or whatever it is and sit back. Or if you're driving, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. Anyways, enjoy the podcast. Not even promoting anything, man. I just want you guys to get to this. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. See you on the other side. Get it done. We are live. We are live. We are live. And welcome to episode number 73. I'm your host, Funk Roberts. And I'm really excited today because, you know, in our Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood, in the 6 pillars of health for men, the number one pillar is mindset. The number one thing we focus on before you even start anything is mindset. It's focusing on your why and allowing that to help you stay motivated to get through the tough times, to get through the things you don't want to get through, or eat the foods you know you're not supposed to eat, but you know, you're kind of leaning there. It's that why, that strong why, that's going to keep you on your program. But after you get through that, after you start to see the results and you start to adapt the healthy lifestyle, there's a lot of things that we need to let go. There's a lot of stuff that we've lived that are still in our minds, still in our lives, that in order for us to move forward, in order for us to continue to grow as men and as fathers, as husbands, as grandparents, we have to find ways to let go. We have to find ways of releasing the past. And so I'm really excited today that we have Pauly Bateman on, who is a mindset and performance coach. And she's going to help us to understand how to break these patterns and the importance of mindset. And, let us know a little bit about her story as well. So thank you for being on the podcast, Polly. I really appreciate you being here. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to be here. This is one of my favorite topics.
Good. So why don't we dive in? What are some of the things that we need to start looking at when it comes to breaking patterns or mindset in general?
The multi-million dollar question right there. No easy, slick answer, but I'm going to start with, if you don't know how you got here, then you don't know what it is that you have to deal with, because how you got formed and coded and how you came to be the way you came to be is what we're kind of talking about and dressing. And if you don't know what it is, it's like a blind spot. You know, and the analogy I like to use is it's a bit like driving down the highway and you want to overtake the car in front of you. And you have a blind spot. And if you don't know something about yourself in this analogy, which is that you can turn your neck for the sake of this analogy, right? So you're going to use everything you know in life, which is your mirrors, your indicators, the rear view, and you've been tracking your environment. You know, you're a surviving human being. You're going to pull out. Now, 6 or 7 times out of 10, we're going to be just fine. 2 or 3 times out of 10, people around us get really antsy. And you're like, whoa, what bit you today? And you can't see your role in it. And 1 time out of 10 in life, we crash. I mean, it's not just 1 time out of 10 in life. It's, you know, those are the odds. We have those crashes. And we're like, I didn't see that. How did that happen? I didn't see that coming. And this is kind of the journey I went on, in that, you know, I always love to share from a place of having been there. I hit 2016 and found myself completely alone and said, how has this happened? Like, I'm a good human. I've worked hard since I was young. I help old ladies over the road and old men. You know, I don't kick cats. I'm like a nice person, but my life doesn't work. And it felt super unfair. And you hear all that stuff like, nobody can love you till you love yourself. And you're like, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? And what's this connection to the universe and flow and all that stuff people talk about? And if you don't know what's running you and how you got coded, then you don't know what's in your blind spot. But the day you learn something about yourself that you didn't previously know, which for this analogy is that my neck moves, the next time you're in the same situation, you've got increased awareness. Now, that increased awareness means you see your role. If there's something coming up fast, you're not going to pull out and get those usual hand gestures, that usual frustration from people. And if there's something right there, you're not going to pull into it. You're going to take a different action. So learning how we got coded, how we came to be, how you are the sum of your experiences, taking yourself on is crucial. And, you know, like, I'm not an advocate of this being a deep dive and deeply hard work and meeting your inner child, because life is kind of short and we're up for living. It's like, you do have to take yourself on, but it can be fun at the same time. You know, and I'll give you another example of how that actually played out in life. You've got a 6-year-old and they're in the classroom and they love the teacher. They like this teacher. And she's asked a question. It's like, pick me. And the little boy picks, you know, he gets picked and he gets the answer wrong and everybody giggles. And in that moment, he feels great discomfort. He didn't like getting the answer wrong. He feels his cheeks burn a bit and he kind of pulls back. And his brain says, oh, we didn't like that. We're going to mark that as an experience to avoid. That's going in the kind of red box, red alert place. Now, developmentally, you don't have the capability at that time with your reptilian brain and your newly forming limbic brain. You don't have the neofrontal cortex to see the big picture. You only have a limited developmental stage where you can take what you know about the world and you can write the narrative. And the narrative right there is, yeah, don't speak up unless you absolutely know, or just don't speak up. Mm. Now, what happens is that gets just buried, right? And we move on, we get through the day and we shake it off. But 30 years later, you've got a 36-year-old sitting in a meeting and he's noticed that the boss is grumpy. Maybe the girl he really fancies has come in the room as well. And that idiot from marketing, oh, he's here. It doesn't really matter what the scenario is, but his brain, which is purely built for survival, is already assessing this, goes back through its own filing cabinet of narratives and stories and experiences and matches it up. And it doesn't care whether it's a complete match or a partial match. It takes experience and says, yeah, okay. And it does all the calculations. It projects for you in nanoseconds what could go wrong. And then you just feel like you don't want to talk today, but you don't know why. And what happens is you'll find yourself, because it's an incompletion for you, you'll find yourself justifying your behavior with things like, oh, all these people that love to like snuggle around the boss. Look at them go. I so don't want to be one of those. Or you'll be like, people speak up. Well done them. I'm just not that human. Like, we'll have a reason for it, but we don't look at why the reason exists. Mm. And rare you are being run by your past. There's a 6-year-old running your meeting today, and you're a full-grown adult. So what happened for me, because it's pertinent to how I got here, was when I saw that my life didn't work, I've got grit and I've got balls. I reached out to a high figure earning coach and I said, what am I missing? Because I'm looking around out here seeing, I can see maybe it's my husband, maybe it's my lifestyle because I'm a military wife, maybe it's that over there, maybe it's my childhood, but I don't know what it is. And he said, yeah, you can only take clients as deep as you've been yourself. So I found that deeply annoying because I knew he was spot on. And I dug into, why do I do what I do, think what I think, and feel what I feel? What coded me? What experiences am I the sum of? How did I get here? And I discovered two crucial elements. First of all, cause and effect. You learnt cause and effect. If you touch that and it's hot, it'll hurt your hand. If you upset mama, she's going to make it clear. If you push the bricks over on the floor, they fall down. You learnt cause and effect. But because your brain is developmentally so young, when the effect is unpleasant, you assume you're the cause. That's the first key thing. The second thing that you learned was right and wrong. You learned it from every person around you. They made it clear what was right and wrong for them, and you learned to fit in or fit out accordingly. And that created an experience, because the problem with right and wrong, it's one of the first distinctions I teach people, is it's made up by humans. Right and wrong is so personal. It's familial. Like my family, we open our Christmas presents at the end of the day. Other people open them in the morning. So I'm weirded out by their Christmases, but they're weirded out by mine.
Right.
It's educational. And in within education and cultures and things, it's like not just what you learn in schools, it's what you learn within your culture. So it's cultural, it's educational, familial, it's global, societal. It's on so many levels that you learn to navigate, and how you came to be is through navigating this right and wrong. The problem with right and wrong is because you learn shame when you learn wrong, they come together, is that now they're connected. So when we get something wrong, we hate that. We feel shame in some way, or we'll throw it off and we go, it's not me, it's not me, it's him. You know, like we'll do anything not to be wrong because we can't cope with the uncomfortable feeling. And it's like not the fault of the person. You know, I recognize that I was crippled by the idea of right and wrong. The morality that came with wrong was so uncomfortable. I'd do anything to avoid it. You know, I was that crazy girl that would set off. It was 6 hours to get home at one point. My parents live in Scotland and I've not lived up there since I was very young. So I'm driving home and it's 6 hours. And I'm like, my mum would say, what time will you be here? And I knew I'd told her, I'll be there mid-afternoon. I'd be like, you know, maybe a little later than mid. But I'm like, I left 2 hours later. I'm going to be there in the evening. But I couldn't tell them. That sense of wrong was so profound in me. Mm. So those two things are really chewy, and they're the first things I dive into with people. But the point of diving into them is like, how did you get coded? Because if you don't start to understand some of those basics, you can't start to deal with it because it's still unseen. It's still that blind spot. Mm.
Very.
So that's where I start.
Yeah, no, that's huge because, you know, I resonated with a few things. Specifically from, you know, when I started my journey, you know, online and fitness like 12 years ago. And when I had suffered having low testosterone, I didn't know how I ended up there. And a lot of guys who are listening to this right now, when specifically when they join my program, or if you're just listening to this, you've probably said that, how did I get here? Like how I used to be a collegiate athlete. I used to be shredded. I used to be healthy. I used to run. I used to do this. I hear this all the time. And then it's like, boom, you open up your eyes one day and how did I get here? Just like the you're driving the car, all of a sudden, boom, you almost swerved over. It's like, how the hell did that just happen?
Right.
That happens all the time. You don't, you're whatever the reason is, whether you're still living in the past or you're just, again, this is why I'm sure you're here, but, you know, that happens a lot all the time. How did I get here? How did I get out of shape? How did I get diabetes? How did I get this? You know, the cause isn't something that is understood because they're just obvious. Right. It's not obvious to them, but it is obvious to me. It's obvious. Like if I look at you, I know exactly how you got there. Let's just dive down into what was happening in the last 10 years, 15 years. Yeah, you know, I had kids and then I had working a lot and I only worked out once in a while and this and that. And like, then when we start to unravel things, it's like, that's how you got here. It's like, ah.
So you know that this is a really great sort of area that you're touching on because what this is tied up with is that people sometimes resist coaching. It's getting more and more popular, but people have often resisted it because it's an idea that they might be broken in some way. But athletes have been all over this forever because they wouldn't dream of going into any kind of performance sport without having somebody objectively looking at them, right? Because you cannot see your own stuff. Like I can look in the mirror and see my nose, but when I'm talking to you right now, unless I focus on the tiny image of me, I can't see what my nose is doing, you know? And it's like, I don't know sometimes what I'm doing until I observe myself. It takes that objective observation to start to see stuff. And it's so important, but we've been so scared of doing this because we're scared. You see, deep down inside, we're scared that we're not enough and we're scared that we'll get seen.
Absolutely. Specifically for men, like the ego for men. I'm supposed to be a father. I'm supposed to be the provider, the procreator, the protector of my family. And all of a sudden I've got diabetes or I'm, you know, I'm obese or whatever it is. Like I'm super unhealthy, but I still got to keep that mask. I still got to keep that mask on. So I'm not going to really unravel it. I'm not going to ask for help. But when they do ask for help or when they do say, okay, I need to do something about this, whatever the reason is. And then that all the cause and how they got there starts and the understanding of, I wasn't supposed to do this and I should have been doing this. Okay. Then they're more open to more coaching and more help and more trying to understand where they're at. But it's that first bit, right? And, you know, for me, when I was like, you know, before I'm a professional athlete, two different sports, highest level. So I was very blessed to have been coached at a high level, learning about mindset and mental toughness since I was 13. I had a very strong mindset, very mentally tough. My parents also taught that to me just from not specifically teaching it, but just from their actions and the way they worked. And they were also athletes. So they did everything. So I just naturally came to me. And then when I was coached, I naturally embraced it. I executed and it happened throughout life. But after I retired, I started the day-to-day life and, you know, kids and corporate world. And, you know, even though I was still working out, you know, I started to gain weight and get obese, or, you know, just out of shape and my testosterone levels were low. And, you know, I started to, you know, go into self-medication and drugs and partying and all of those things, depression and everything that leads you down the, you know, a very low time. And it wasn't until I realized with my testosterone that kind of was the whole thing. But the whole point I'm trying to make is I wasn't asking for help at that time. And I knew how to ask for help because I'd been doing it all my life. You know, I didn't. And until I turned that around, you know, now asking for help is nothing. Now being wrong, hey, listen, if I'm wrong, good. Let's do something to you know, what's right? What's the right way? I want to learn. I'm not afraid to be wrong, but not everyone's like that. Not everyone can understand that. And a lot of these guys coming in to this program just don't know, right?
Yeah. And let me add this, right? Because it sometimes shows up in a way that's not obvious. So I was dealing with an athlete, and he's just a really great example here. And I'm going to use him and I'm going to use my husband. I was dealing with an athlete that had chronic fatigue. So he'd had an international career. He was a British guy. He'd gone over, he played American football. He was really, or soccer. I'm not sure, quite sure. I always soccer. Get it wrong, right or wrong, what I say.
They call it,
So basically he's playing and he has a great career. He's having a lot of fun, but he's starting to get the symptoms of chronic fatigue. And he and I met. We met actually speaking at an event, and we really connected well. And I offered to have a conversation with him. What was really interesting when we started working together, because it became very obvious that I could help, to me anyway, but he saw it too, was that the chronic fatigue was a symptom of his thinking. So the chronic fatigue is because, you see, as we grow, the narrative, that developmental age, we build ideas and narratives and thoughts about the world that are completely biased. Now, that biased view can work usually against you, you know, and he had definitely decided some stuff about himself, all relating to his father not being present in his life and stuff like that. And in making those decisions, right, and I know I'm touching on something here that's big for a lot of guys, in not having his father present, he wrote a narrative about that. And that narrative wore him down. And so did the behaviors that he took on as a way of dealing with it. We develop coping strategies that we don't even know are coping strategies. We think it's just what we do, but it's a strategy. And in the moment that you're dealing with something that's uncomfortable, you do something like, for example, the next time that kid is in that classroom and the teacher asks a question, he's not going to put his hand up. That's his strategy. His strategy now is to hold back. So he's holding back. Now, when we are out of sorts and out of alignment with our true authentic self, that creates the spiral down to a lower vibrational level. That creates the drinking, the self-medicating, you know, the social poisoning, the beating yourself up with the negative self-talk. And that is what forms the physical ailments. It starts here.
100%. Very powerful. Because that's what it is. It's that thought, that narrative, and then it just keeps compounding. And during these times too, that doesn't help. The pandemic has not helped that at all. You know, specifically if people have a side or not, and then they just keep feeding things that they don't even know. They're hearing one little thing, they take it and they feed it, and then that beats people down. That's the cortisol levels. That's the stress. That's another thing that's not only killing our health, but almost killing ourselves, right? Like
you're cutting yourself off.
Yes.
From your true nature, your true self. So, you know, I get a sweet spot of sort of 45 to 55 year old CEO types that come to me because, and I know why, my husband is a general. And so he fits that age bracket. And I notice that I get him. You see, I see this man who leads really well, and he's so loved by his people, but I watch him crawl back through the door sometimes. And it's an emotional crawling, not literal, but he emotionally crawls back through the door. He's exhausted. There's only one of him. He's tired and he's drained by life. And we have these conversations because I'm like, okay, so I can see what's driving you today, because I call him out on it, right? But I call him out on it in that loving way. You see, the problem for a lot of guys, and it's sweeping generalizations, I know, but it exists still because our stigmaed view, the male-female role still really exists, is you guys are having a really tough time at the moment. It's like, are you supposed to be metrosexual? Are you supposed to open the goddamn door for the woman or not? Will you get slapped if you do? But yet you're a hunter provider, gatherer person. Like, what is your goddamn role right now? It's so confusing. And here he is, my husband is definitely trying very hard to be a leader, and yet he's married to an alpha female. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, these military boys, they tend not to marry wallflowers. They marry someone when they drop the mic because they're off on tour. We grab it and can run with it. So, you know, all the jobs, there's no pink jobs and blue jobs. They're all purple jobs, right? I got it. And I got why, you know, I see so many and they've married these strong women and then these women get messed up because they're in a beta role because the military is a demanding role. So, right. You know, and then they're outsourced with intrusive. But I watched Tom and my husband, and I watched the vulnerability. You see, he has a vulnerability because we all do, right? He's a human at the end of the day. He's fallible. He makes mistakes. His past is running him because that's what happens. And does he care? Oh, man. I mean, guys care. Your whole nature shows up protectively in a different way to women's. Ours shows up very nurturing. We take care of the barbers and the home. And I know that this is stereotypes. I can hear women screaming at me like, no, we have jobs now too.
Don't even worry about that.
but it's like, but we still do. This is why women juggle everything. But men are trying to juggle everything as well. They're trying to be more in tune as fathers. They're trying to be more open emotionally. And they're trying to do their day job and carry on providing. And with women coming past them, that can be deeply emasculating too. No, it's not that they are so small that they can't handle that. It's just like, what is your role? And when did we forget that you guys care? Mm-hmm. When did we forget how vulnerable you lot are? Because we've often focused on women and their vulnerabilities. Guys are vulnerable too. And that's what I have seen in my husband. I've seen his vulnerability and I got the gift. I got what a gift it was because, you know, obviously I've dug around in his past. A, because that's what you do when you get to know somebody, right? If you're going to lie next to them. Where have you been, boy? So, yes, I've got to know him. But equally, I've asked him those questions. And as, of course, we placed my own child in his school, we also talked about my husband's school experiences. And stuff came up. And, you know, I've been married for 16 plus years now, but I remember it was at the 12, 13 year point when he told me something I'd never, ever heard about him. It was a vulnerability. It was something that had gone horribly wrong at school. And it had defined his senior school time where he had been the thing that had had him survive. Basically, someone had traded up their reputation at the expense of his. They'd both been equally involved in something and then made out it was all my husband. And so the other person was kind of lauded and my husband was kind of ostracized. And it was a really shitty thing to do. And it forced him to be alone. And the way he coped was by getting good. Got good at sport. He did as best as he could academically. And he pulled in. So what I was dealing with was a man who didn't really have friends because he didn't really trust. He loved women. Not like as a Fernando Valentino type, you know, but he loved women because he felt safe around them. He had sisters, he got that he could talk to them. I mean, don't get me wrong, he'd love to unleash that side too, but you know, he's a man, he's a red-blooded man. But the point was that he had learned to hold back. So he cared very much for his people, but he didn't know who he could trust. So he held all that in. And that's what I started to unpack with him because I'm like, yeah, this. I get this is how you've been formed, but this was a narrative built from a perspective. Like back in the day, he went to boarding school. So, you know, it was cold. He didn't have his parents. The way that masters, like he threw a boy out of a first floor window once for the continual teasing he's got. I'm kind of quite proud of him for that. I'm like, yeah, you go. You defend yourself. And off you go. So he threw the bully out of a window and he's known for it. But what was interesting was he got bollocked rigid for that. Now, when we chose my son's school, because we're a fully mobile family, my son is boarding. The housemaster that I decided I wanted to be, plant my child with, was the guy that said to me, so the thing I value is honesty, he said. He said, you know, if they've set someone on fire, I kind of want to know why. And we were like, well, can we put him out first? Joking. But the point was, I loved what the housemaster said. He said, let's get to the bottom of why that even happened rather than just bollock them for setting someone on fire. Go to the root. And that's what made me love Henry. And Henry and my son, he's been at this school for 2 years now. He's incredibly happy. He's got a thinking person around him. Our pastoral care in the education system has got a lot better. But people of the age group that we're talking to right now and younger have not always had this. And, you know, and my husband, by the way, grew up with a very Victorian father who was brilliant. Like, we loved him. He was a dinosaur for sure. He didn't really belong to these times. He's way better off up there watching it all. That's for sure. He couldn't help himself sometimes. You know, but he, the first time Tom hugged him, he was 16 and his father responded by punching him in the stomach. To get him off. So that's what we're dealing with at this age group. That much colder, tougher, harder, less emotional upbringing. And yet you guys are supposed to be in tune with it all as it's going on today. What?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. Man, Tom and I have a lot in common. Like I can, things you're saying are, I have things that I can pull from what you said about, Tom's your husband, right, Tom? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So yeah, we definitely have a lot of, you know, just the way I was brought up. And for me, it was about, like, I'm dominating everything I do. There's not even a question. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot, but that's for another. Yeah. You know, one of my big things here, is allowing and reestablishing men to be able to understand that they are supposed to be the protectors and providers and procreators, but also their kingdom has their queen, and together their queen and the king, make sure that the kids, the community, the family, and everybody around them are happy and healthy and safe, and together they do that, and the respect, and you know, that's an alpha. And that's what we are, over 40 alphas. But we can't do that unless we are at utmost health. Because as we get older too, something I talked about the other day, you know, a lot of people are going to be, we're going to be losing a lot of people around us, right? I'm 52, you know, when you get into your 50s, 60s, 70s, people are going to be, you know, slowly leaving, dying. But you still have to be healthy enough to be there, because we're going to be the patriarchs of our family, whether we want to be or not. Like, as we get older, everyone looks to grandpa or everyone looks to dad, whether you want it to be or not. So when those times happen, you have to be healthy. You have to, you know, you have to have the strength to, at least during that time, lead in a way where you can get things done, stay healthy. And then when it comes time to be vulnerable, you have the support of the brotherhood or what have you. Like, we have a support section in our program where the guys are, you know, I really think vulnerability is huge, you know, for men to be able to come somewhere and go, okay, guys, I had a rough week this week, blah, 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 blah. And then they have the support of all their other brothers. No worries, we're here, blah, blah, blah. At least they don't need to get the answers. They just need to get it out. Sometimes you just need to get it out. All right, I'm good. I got it out. Thanks, guys, for listening. Awesome. I'm good. Let's go. And that's what our support group does. That's what, you know, 2,200 guys in there just daily, you know, just supporting each other. But let's go back to
can I say one thing on that?
Yes.
Because it's so important for every, this is every human, but really guy, you know, for guys as well. You know, the value that we're born with is the same value that we die with. The thing that changes, and the only thing that ever changes about our value, is our perception of it. And we rate ourselves all the time depending on what's going on around us. And guys are so tough on themselves over that.
Totally.
They take their value down when they haven't done a good enough job or they haven't provided as they would want to. And that's where it's so hard. So one message to them right here, right now, is you guys have the same value. You're celebrated the moment you arrive. You are mourned the moment you go. Your value never changes. You are valuable. Just watch your perspective on it, because your perspective is what shifts. And other people's perspective of your value is none of your business. Let them have what they have going on, because it's just a reflection on them. It's a reflection of their thinking of themselves. They're just projecting it out. And that's the first part of actually starting to love yourself. It's not some like loving yourself is taking yourself on. It's looking out for you. It's being good to you, being kind to you. And the one thing I always say to people to help them understand their value is like, if you imagine you had a younger you in the room and then listen to yourself talk, which is like, come on, man, you should try harder. You should do better. Imagine you're saying that to that younger version and then wonder why he's not doing so well and thriving. Because like, oh, you did it again. You failed. You didn't pull it off. Come on, you loser. You know, you're like being super mean. And we would never say that stuff to a child because we understand intellectually they're never going to win like that. Mm. What you need is, and I've got a killer line for you. I use it with all my clients. What you need is to be kind to you. And here's the killer line. You are the adult you needed as a child.
Mm. Oof.
Right.
What? Drop that mic that you're on there right now. Drop it.
But it's such a line, right? I came out with this one day and the whole room stopped. And I was like, oh my God, I've just said something really profound because I got it. I had become the adult I needed as a child. And your job now is to look out for you, encourage you, love him, hold him. Mm. And you know, sometimes my husband bugs me. That's what happens in a marriage. And if I get upset, I take myself off and I kind of, I don't hug myself. I don't rock in a corner or anything, but I go, you're okay, girl. You're okay. That's how we want to be speaking to ourselves.
Yeah.
You're the adult you needed as a child.
You need to make a t-shirt, a meme, whatever. I mean, that's very powerful because I totally understand that. That is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Because when you look at it that way, you start to treat yourself differently.
Right. You really you see yourself in the room.
Totally.
Yeah. It's objective now. Right. It's objective. You're looking at you. Yeah. And I get all of my clients, male and female, I get them to get a picture of them at a time they know they were vulnerable when they were younger and put it in their bedroom. And I want you to look at that picture when you go to bed and when you get up. And you're going to say to him when you get up, I'm going to look after you today. I've got you, son. You've got yourself.
Right. Wow. It's huge. I'm tearing up here. This is really good. Good. Great. This is great. This is awesome. So good, man. This is much needed to be heard by a lot of guys, by myself too. This is really good. Okay. So
I passed.
You passed. Yeah. 100%. Listen, how do we, okay. So give us three things, or maybe there's four or five. I'm just a couple of things that anyone listening right now can start the process of the effect, the cause, trying to figure like a couple of things that we can actionable items. Okay. I just listened to this podcast by Polly B. Let's call you Polly B if you don't mind.
Yes,
let's
do cool. This. Polly B's in the house. So let me just talk you through this, right? Our beliefs were grounded in a lived experience. So let's say you were little, you were younger and something happened. Like we could pick a scenario, like your dad left and your best friend's dad didn't. You're going to write a narrative, especially when you see the other dad being affectionate and warm and present for that child, but your dad's not around. And if he does come around, it's just because he's screaming at your mum, you know, whatever the scenario is, because we've all know of these types of things. We've all had them. What happened was, you know, we had a moment where we wrote a story. We had a thought. It's as simple as that. You had a thought like, maybe dad doesn't love us. Maybe we weren't enough. Or maybe I should have tried harder. Or maybe whatever that thought is. What happens is a thought, when it's repeated, becomes a thought pattern. And a thought pattern begins to have an impact on your physiology. The physiology then begins to have a corresponding kind of tension or position. Like look at a guy who's super tall and watch him, you know, the ones that didn't want to be tall, see the stoop, right? That you can see it. The corresponding physiology to the thought, which means that then you're having your physiology is feeding back to the brain and impacting your brain as much as the thought was impacting your physiology. You've now got a loop going on. And that feedback loop is going to start creating habits and habitual thinking. And when habitual thinking keeps getting validated, it becomes a truth for you. It becomes a core belief. And the problem with core beliefs is like your vagus nerve and your stress response has all been activated. But worse than that, a core belief has biases. So it literally now begins to, you know, biases are hardwired into us to like stay away from the lions. They're scary and they eat you, you know, and watch the snakes. They bite you, the little slippery suckers. You know, we've got all these things. We are hardwired to stay away from what doesn't work for us. And so those biases now have taken over and they're filtering things. But worse than this, with your physiology is all now activated, what happens is the subconscious filtering system is the reticular activating system, which is a bundle of nerves at the top of your head. And this now will literally control what you see and don't see. So you can get somebody whose highest value is nurturing and looking after children, and you'll get someone whose highest value is being an entrepreneur, hunter-gatherer. And often those two people will be together because they complete the circle. But they'll go out shopping to a mall and they'll see entirely different shops. The lady will see the home or the home nurturer. I mean, you can't always say ladies these days, right? But they'll see the home, the home stuff, the children's wear shop. And the other one sees the bookshops, the tech, the, you know, the gadget places, the stuff that's of interest. You're now, it's not that you said it wasn't there. You just don't notice it. So here's the first thing. Get that your belief system is built on stories from when you were younger. Get that you kind of don't know anything. Like, give it up. Let it go. That letting go is so profound. Like, I don't really know anything. And I've learned, and I love to say this, the more I learn, the less I know. So I give up trying to be perfect. Two.
Hold on. Can I go back to number one? Can I go back to my belief systems? So should we be saying to ourselves, okay, let me just re-establish new beliefs from what I've like. So like, let's say that I'm my belief system is, I don't know, because I've let go of my old beliefs. So I'm just trying to think of like, let's say my belief system was, I don't know. I'm a early bird or something like I can.
You're not clever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. I can't do that stuff. I can't do that. But that's way over my, you know.
Yeah.
And that's been built from when I was a kid. Right. And that just came through. That's why I got bad grades. That's why I did this. That's why I did this. And so I just keep that in my mind.
Right.
How do I let go? How do I let go of that?
Okay. So here we go.
Yeah.
You know, these belief systems, when they get built, they run you. And it's recognizing you're being run. Now, here's a really sexy way to look at it, I think. You've got somebody on a pedestal. You're denying that brilliance in you.
Yes.
You've got somebody below you and you're judging them. You're denying the shit that lives in you. You are polarity. There's a saint and a sinner in you. You are human, and the human experience is to kind of feel it all. So the belief system, get that the only person, like when we judge other people, it's because we are denying, whether we judge them positively or negatively, we're denying our own magic. Every single human, and I do this, I don't know if you can see because the sun's right in my computer screen, but your thumbprint, right?
Yeah.
It is super unique. That thumbprint, there is only one of you in all of time, which means there is your magic. This is your magic code. All you've got to do is be you. And it's restoring yourself to you. Like by making friends with you, you've begun the process of restoring your relationship with you. Because every other relationship out there is a reflection of the relationship you have with yourself. Just know your magic.
Yeah. That's you. Thank you for saying that, because a lot of times guys will say to me, Funk, you know, you've changed my life. You know, this is all yours. This is this. And I always say, nah, man. I'm just giving you the tool. You have to put this tool to work, because I've 100% given this tool to thousands of men and they didn't do what you did. Okay. So I get the exact same tool. Here's the exact same program. Here's the exact same thing. I'm giving you the exact same coaching that I gave to you, but they didn't do it. So it's not me. Don't put me on that pedestal. Put yourself on that pedestal.
Right.
You're the one. I'm just the guide. You're the one that did it. So I have to always say that because I do hear it. Listen, I'm appreciative of what they're saying, but I also know that when people keep other people on their pedestal, then they don't feel like they're worthy of being there. Right. Like the only reason why I've completely lost all this weight and I'm, you know, don't have diabetes anymore and my testosterone levels are coming is because of Funk Roberts. Like, no, man, it's because of you. No, I just gave you the plate, you know, I gave you the book.
You know? You're the facilitator.
Yeah. Right.
You're
right.
The handrail.
Right. Yes. Right?
And it's like, I get it. I'm the same, right? That's my job too. I'll be right. Your handrail, but you got to do the work.
You got to do the work. Yeah. And when you do the work, it's you that did it. Not right. Roberts. You're the one that's on that pedestal.
And, because only you can ever be responsible for your life.
Right. Right.
Only you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that first part that we talked about there, you know, just restoring, beginning the restoration of your relationship with yourself, knowing that you have magic and not denying it, getting your innate, like everybody has innate magic in them. Mine just looks different to someone else's.
Right.
You know, it's like knowing who you truly are, really allowing yourself to discover that for you, but don't deny what's in you.
Right, right.
Look for it. Dig.
Yeah.
Go hunting.
Totally.
You're magic.
100%. 100%. Okay. Number two.
I can't remember what number two is.
I know. You had the belief. You had the belief.
You got to believe, right. And then you got to value you.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? The thoughts that you have in life create the feelings that you have. The feelings create the actions. They drive the actions you take. And the actions give you the results you get. So if you don't like the results, then we know the thinking's messy.
Right.
Go straight back to the thinking. You can shortcut it. And just get that somewhere when we engage in behaviors that take us down, somewhere we are devaluing ourselves. And remember this, that's a learnt experience. That's not an experience. I'm like leaning out the sun here.
Yeah, I know. No worries.
That's not an experience that you're like, don't blame yourself for that. That's not on you. And sometimes it came from well-meaning people. People who loved you, who were trying to tell you how they thought that this is how you have to navigate the world. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you sell out on you, it's because you don't value yourself. So start to value you.
I love that.
You know, and I've got a great story that I love to tell people because today, to this day, this tickles me pink. So it's like 2 years ago, I think, 18 months ago, I was sat in bed and I'd done all this value work on myself. You know, I kind of realized I was the adult I need and I'd dug deep and I thought, you know, Polly, she's a good egg. She's a nice girl. I like her. She's a decent human and she makes mistakes. Yes, but she's a good egg. That's what I decided. And I was on LinkedIn. I'd never been on LinkedIn before. That was for like grown-ups previously, like people with real jobs, you know, and here I am. Yeah. And now I'm on LinkedIn. I'm feeling good about this. And I'm kind of reaching out to people. And this guy, this investment banker, writes to me with this long and corporate blurb about these are the people we like to invest in. 25 million Great British pounds up to 250 million Great British pounds. And I'm like, what's he on about? And I showed it to my husband. I went, what's this guy on about? And he said, well, he's asking you if you'd like investment, darling. And I went, awesome. And I started writing back. And Tom, my husband, from his perspective, went, what are you doing? Oh, I was writing back saying, that'd be lovely. Thank you very much. And he said, what? Whoa, 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 baby. He said, you can't do that. And I said, why can't I? He said, because you haven't got a plan together. I know you want to conquer the world, but you don't have a plan. I said, I know. But if he says he'll meet me for lunch, I'll get a fucking plan. Now, that guy is friends with us now. Right. He's friends.
Yeah.
And we are together looking for a location to buy to turn into a center for human development and leadership.
Incredible.
And it all started because I finally got I had value. Now, when I wrote to him the next day, I definitely had a little bit of a vulnerability hangover. Like, what if he laughs and goes, oh, bless her? But you know, that's on him. If he thought less of me, that's on him. And it's fine. I would never have known what he thought. He just would never have written back. But you know, at the end of the day, he didn't. He said, I'd love to meet you. When are you thinking? And we organized it. And he's like, I'm sailing around the Mediterranean. And I'm like, of course you are. You know, exactly.
Why wouldn't you be? Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you be?
Exactly. Let's meet after the summer. So, you know, but it was such a lovely lunch. And he spent the first part of lunch telling us how he'd had all these businesses. He'd had three different phones. He used to have assistants running around after him, and they'd take it in turns to hand phones over to him, and how difficult he would find that, how exhausted he was. And in the end, he moved into investment banking because he just knew he'd be dead if he didn't find a better way to be. So, you know, from that perspective, I'm like, interesting. And then he said, so tell me, why are you here? And I'm like, well, I want to change the way we lead in industry. I want to help men show up powerfully, where the whole of them is allowed to come to work, not a part of them. And he was, I'm interested. Keep talking. And we kept talking. And do you know what he said to me at the end of lunch? It was the best lunch I've ever had. It was in a private restaurant. We had our own butler. It was amazing. Best pea soup I've ever had in my life. And at the end of it, he said, do you know what? I want a better world for my grandchildren. Let's find somewhere together. Now, the only person that wouldn't have thought I was capable of being at that meeting was me.
Right.
It was on me. So yeah, you've got magic in you. If someone don't like your magic, they're just not your person.
That's right.
Don't give up on your magic.
Huge. Pauly, that was very inspiring. By the way, I'm jumping on LinkedIn right after I get off this call.
Love it.
Because I also want to change the world. I also want to continue to create more alpha men and reestablish our manhood and our, you know, our values and what we need to do as we get older and as we want to teach our grandchildren and our great grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera. So that's amazing. Pauly, we're definitely want to have you back on this podcast again. On the regular. There's so much. I can just see you have so much knowledge and so many amazing things for these guys to use in their lives and unpack in their lives and to start to continue to get that mindset that they are valuable. They are loved not only by people around them, but they need to love themselves. And when they do that, everything else starts to the domino effect starts to happen. It wasn't until I loved myself when the domino effect happened for me. Like, right. You know, because I had no love for myself when I was medicating and drugs and, you know, strippers and all kinds of craziness. And it wasn't until I found love in myself that I found a wife, that I created the, you know, my online businesses and continue to do things. That's like, people are like, how do you do all that stuff? I'm like, man, I just go. I've had value in myself. You know, if I want to create a supplement company, I'm going to create a supplement company. Do you know how to create a supplement company? No, but I'm going to do it. And we're going to have a great time while we do it. I'm going to learn. I'm going to, you know, because that's what I want to do. You know, do I want to have a television show to help do, gym makeovers? Yeah, I do. Do I've ever done anything like that? Nope, never done it before. But we're going to look for the right person and they're going to reach out. And next thing you know, that's what we're starting to create, this whole thing.
And it's really crucial. That, you know, you're talking about something really special there. You're talking about a beginner's mindset, because a beginner's mindset, you know, that's like when you walk in the kitchen and the kid's got the can opener, but they're doing something completely weird with it and it's working with what they're doing. And you're like, how did you make it do that? And I'm like, well, I didn't know what it was, you know, and they're just doing something like slicing a tomato or something. You're like, whoa. And the point is, a beginner's mindset has no blocks.
Right.
Give up what you know. Here's a great line. Forget what you know and remember what you've forgotten.
I like that. Forget what you know and what you've forgotten.
You've forgotten how great you are.
Yes.
If you didn't know you were great, you wouldn't have even bothered trying to walk. You'd have said, it looks too hard. I'd probably be really bad at it. You go.
Right.
You know how to be great.
Amazing. I love it. Pauly, how can we reach you? How do we reach you? Well, where are we? Do you have books? Do you have books? Do you have websites? Do you have, how are these guys? These guys are going to want to reach you. Listen, do you coach people? So yeah, give us the lay of the land for Polly Bateman.
Okay.
Please.
So there's a lovely lady somewhere in America called Polly Bateman, who's got pollybateman.com. It was super annoying. So I am the pollybateman.com. All right.
Right.
So because I'm British, we're super awkward about stuff like that. And when somebody said, call yourself the pollybateman.com, I was like crawling up my own arsehole with awkwardness. And it's like, no, just be the Polly Bateman. So that's me. It's thepollybateman.com for the website. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at the Polly Bateman.
Excellent. And they can get all that information that they need there if they want to reach out to you, if they want some.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Perfect. They want to talk to me, they can reach out. And then I'm continuing to hold workshops, and I put that out on social media when I'm going to hold workshops and things like that. And people can come to those. I make them usually, they're free or they're super affordable, because I have a motto. And my motto is, if you have more, I have more. And I'm really interested that more isn't capitalism stuff. Not that I'm against it. I love stuff, but it's not about that. It's the more of being, like the more healed and restored we get to ourselves, the better the world gets. I want you to have more of you.
100%. Man, that, we need to continue this to talk offline, because there's so many parallels, you know, because a lot of people with my program, they're like specifically other fitness or online people, like, dude, you should be charging $129 a month for what you do. I do weekly coaching. We do weekly coaching live every 10 a.m. Sundays. We do Ask Funks. I've got 36 months of programming. And these guys are paying, you know, some $29, $39 a month. And for what the value that they're getting, you know, could be $129, $139, whatever it is. But for me, that's not what it's about. For me, it's about, you know, it's the journey that these guys are on. And we need to, if I put more barriers, then, you know, the journey is we're not going to get to where we need to get to. So I like that you said that your workshops are affordable and because of what the goal is, right? What is the end goal? Is it just to, you know, be rich, or is it to actually change the world? Because, you know, you probably, you know, the money will come, but it's about changing the world.
Don't make it the focus. Make it that, my natural being is that, so I'm a natural kind of rescuer sharer. You know, I just want to share this knowledge. And by the way, this knowledge isn't mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, thank God I don't have to rely on Polly Bateman, right? She's human. She's going to screw up at some point. Thank God the knowledge was already here. I'm just the vessel it works through.
Right.
And yeah, I know I'm a good vessel for it, but thank God it's just that. And, you know, that's the place. And I'm really happy if you want to ask the audience what they would like me to come back and talk about.
Okay, we'll do. Definitely will. Definitely. That's amazing. So once again, thank you so much for being on the Over 40 Alpha podcast. Polly Bateman, everybody. You listen, mindset, performance coach, if you need, you know, to help unpack, if you need to help figure out what the cause and effect is, if you need to get rid of the old beliefs that you have and restructure your new beliefs, then Polly Bateman, thepollybateman.com. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk to you again. Have a great day.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Hey, it's Funk Roberts here, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of my Over 40 Alpha podcast. Now, before you go, I've got a special gift that I want to give you, and one thing I need to ask you as a member of our podcast family. First, if you haven't already, please claim your free 30-day trial at over40alpha.com. This is a 30-day trial into our Over 40 fitness program that has workouts, nutrition, mindset training, recovery training, everything you need to help you lose weight, to help you burn belly fat, to help you increase your muscle, and of course, naturally increase your testosterone levels and get you into the best shape of your life. So please go to over40alpha.com and join the thousands of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s getting incredible results on a daily basis. And next, as a member of our Over 40 Alpha podcast family, please, if you know anyone, another guy in their 40s, 50s, 60s who can benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. And if you can, please leave a review. It really helps us with the podcast. Thank you so much again. Get it done, and I'll see you next week.
been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.